need Jerry. Me and Jerry up here. God, okay. I got to do it proper, Jerry. Proper. I'm going to introduce tonight's speaker. I'm going to introduce tonight's speaker tonight, Michelle from San Diego.
Hi, my name is Marshall, and I am an alcoholic. Can I get this to come down out of my face just a little bit? Huh? I'd like to welcome the newcomers. Welcome to a new beginning, a new way of life, and I'd like to congratulate the young man on his 4 years. Thank you for coming back, you know, and, you know, it's when I hear people go out and come back in, you know, it helps me to do a spot check on my recovery, you know, and to see where I'm at in my recovery, you know, because what scares me the most today is where that Dr. Sapena talks about the phenomenon of craving. You know, that phenomenon of craving, you know, it talks about we're not overcoming to stop drinking. We overcoming the cravings. And sometimes that can last for a day. Sometimes that can last for years. That scares me the most because that's the type of alcoholic that I am. I'm not in recovery because I didn't like drinking and drugging. You know, I love drinking and drugging. God had to help me to understand that I didn't have to be ashamed to say that out loud, that I'm not in recovery because I didn't like drugging and drinking. I love the attraction, the finding ways and means to get more. Well, God had to help me to understand what I was really giving up was the humiliation and the pain that I felt in my disease of addiction. Those things that I had to do to get that next one. That's what God had to help me to see. The difference was that humiliation. That humiliation that I put myself through to get one more. And that's going to any length. And I don't have to say what any length that is. You already know what any length that is. You know, the consequences of my actions. You know, God had to help me to see the difference. The consequences of my actions was death. I'm not one of these alcoholics that went to jail. I'm not one of these alcoholics that went to jail one night. But what was next was on the list was death. You know, I have 2 children, and they were young, you know, and they was at those ages where the CPS can get involved and take my children. You know, I'm not from San Diego. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. You know, I got caught up into the disease of addiction by attraction. When I would hear people talk about getting high and doing all of that, my drug of choice is crack. My foundation is in Alcoholics Anonymous, so I'm going to stick to alcoholic. You know, and what God had to help me to understand, I ran from Kansas City, Missouri to San Diego. And that was the biggest gift that I could have gave myself and my children. Because when I came here, I didn't know anyone here. I had a brother and his wife, and they was the only 2 people that I knew here. The biggest gift about that, once I got here, not knowing that my brother and his wife was in their disease of addiction. But the biggest gift about that was God didn't have us to use together. And I'm so grateful for that, that me and my brother and his wife didn't do that together. You know, the one thing that I had to learn, you know, I ended up hitting a desperation bottom in April of 87. And I called information, and I said, I know you got something for Alcoholics Anonymous, but do you have something for people who do the other thing? And they gave me a number, and I called it. I started going to meetings, AA meetings, in 87, April. I went into July of 87. And one day at a time, I started telling myself, I'll go tomorrow, I'll go tomorrow, I'll go tomorrow. But tomorrow never came. Then something happened in the year of 89. My children asked me to go back to those meetings. And I started going back to the meetings. But as soon as I stepped through the door in 89, in January of 89, the willingness vanished. I came in with the idea that I was going to do what I needed to do, but the willingness vanished. And I continued to do what I was doing for a whole year. The biggest gift that I'm grateful for about that is that I didn't stop coming to meetings. I came to meetings every day. And I would do meetings twice a day. But that's all I did. I didn't do anything else. I didn't put it into action. And then something happened in the year of 90. The year of 90, January, the year of 90. Now I'm standing in this alley, and it's dark. One end, this end, and it's dark, this end. And I look to my left, and I look to my right, and I got ready to cross the next visible line. The next visible line was I wasn't going to go home to my children because my excuse had told me I didn't want them to see me like this anymore. But God did something different. That same, when I was thinking that, he blessed me with the gift of desperation that you needed to have coming into this program for me. And I'm so grateful that he blessed me with that gift of desperation. I don't have one of these stories that I started using when I was a teenager. I didn't start using or drinking or smoking weed. I started smoking weed when I was in the 11th grade. And that's basically what me and my girlfriends did, you know. And I did that, but what happened was I crossed over, and now the other thing is coming on the scene, and I got caught up into the attraction because people is talking about how much fun they having. And I'm not seeing anyone being unmanageable in the other area. You know, so what happened was I was in church. I dedicated my life to the Lord when I was 18. So from 18 to 29, I'm in church. But don't get me wrong now. I'm smoking my weed. You know, I'm one of these churchgoers. I'm young. We smoking our weed, you know, and everything like that. But what happened was, on April of 1986, I woke up one Sunday morning and I told God that I'm going to take a break from going to church. In June of 1986, I'm smoking crack. Within that 2 months, I separated myself from God. In November of 1986, I packed up me and my babies from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a diehard fan. My team, my football team is the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, I'm a diehard Chiefs fan. That's my team. We ain't doing good this year, so don't, you can boo them. I'm booing them too. But I know we need to make some stir up this at the end of this season. We're going to get us some new players. You know, but I left there and I came to San Diego. I woke up one morning. I quit my job with the city of Kansas City, Missouri, and I packed up me and my kids, and we came to San Diego. And when we came to San Diego, that's when everything kind of changed around a little bit. It took me a little bit longer to get off into the fellowship. Like I said, I got introduced. My sobriety birthday is February the 14th, 1990. So I celebrated 35 years this year. By God's grace, and I'm truly grateful that he seen something on the inside of me that he felt that I was worthy of this program, because I didn't see that. I didn't think I could stay sober for 24 hours. On the flip side of that, I really didn't know if I really wanted to stay sober for 24 hours, because I'm not in the program because I didn't like getting high. I love getting high. And if I, when it talks about and how it works, the results are nil until we let go absolutely. I wanted to hold on to my old way of life and my new way of life, and I wanted them to come together. I wanted them to come together. God had to help me to see that I had to let one of them go. And I had to let go of the disease of addiction. I had to let it go. The results are nil until I let go absolutely. And God had to help me to see that. You can't have both worlds, Marshall. You have to let one of them go. You have a choice. And I made a deal with God. I told him, I tell you what, I give you 1 year. I give you 1 year. If my life don't get any better in 1 year, I'm going back out. I told God in that same breath of making that deal, I also told God that I would do whatever you tell me to do, I would do it. I would work the steps. I would get a sponsor. I would do all of the things that you want me to do. And I did that. I asked God to put a sponsor into my life, because my picker was broke. God had to help me to understand. I didn't know how to put healthy people into my life. I knew how to put people into my life, but I didn't know how to put healthy people into my life. And what I mean by that, I mean that healthy people don't play victim. They get into the solution. And that's what God had to help me to understand and see. It's a difference. You can be healthy, but don't and still play victim at the same time. That wasn't healthy for me. God also had to help me to see that I needed to do something different that I didn't do before in the year of 89 when I came around here for a whole year. And I didn't know what that was going to be. So one day at a meeting, I'm praying to God, and I said, I need to do something different, because if I don't do something different, I'm going back out. And I knew it. I knew it. So after the meeting was over with, I was ear hustling. You know how people break up in their little groups and stuff after the meeting, they start talking and stuff. So this guy was talking to this newcomer, and he was telling this newcomer, you need a closed men's meeting, you need a speaker's meeting, you need a big book study meeting, and you need an open discussion meeting. I don't know if the young man took the suggestion or not, but I took it. I took it. And I did that for a whole year, for my first year. I used to go to the meeting, to the meeting, the big book study meeting, and I would ask this young lady, and I used to ask her, I said, do you really find freedom from working the steps? And she would say, yes. I said, do you really find freedom from working the steps? And she would say, yes. I said, do you really find freedom from working the steps? And she would say, yes. The next week, I would ask her the same three questions. Do you really find freedom from working the steps? And she would say, yes. But one thing about the lady, she never once told me to work the steps to find out. She just kept saying yes. That's all she kept saying was yes. And at the end of the page that we was reading, I thought I was reading that at the end of the page that I was going to find new freedom from bondage of self. But then after I started looking at the pages, I realized that's not at the end of the pages. That's God had put that in my mind. You know, and the biggest gift was I end up asking this lady. I wanted to ask another lady to be my sponsor. And what happened was God told me he wanted me to ask another lady to be my sponsor. And I told God, I really don't want her to be my sponsor. And me and God went around in my living room for a whole hour talking back and forth. And he told me, he said, there you go again, trying to tell me what you want to do. I said, okay, I'll call her. I called her up and asked her to be my sponsor. She hesitated. I said, I do whatever you tell me to do. And at that time, it would be like one of those things that if your sponsor told you to stand on your head for a whole hour in a meeting, you would stand and you would say, I stand on my head for a whole hour. And I said, I do that, you know. And I said, I do whatever you tell me to do. And the first suggestion that she gave me was, when you get your 30, 60, and 90 days in 6 months, when you start, she said, I want you to do something special for yourself. I want you to go treat yourself to an ice cream cone. I said, oh, I can do that. I know how to do that. I'm good about treating myself special, you know. You know, so by myself, I'm a single parent of two, so I would go and get this ice cream cone. But what happened was, not knowing that the old timers of the Southeast Alana Club had programmed us to start learning how to take our inventory. So while I'm doing this, I'm taking my inventory, and I'm thinking about that I've been sober for 30 days, and it's not me that's doing it. Then I understood that 11-step prayer is no way you can give thanks to God without going into that 11-step prayer and letting him know, thank you for keeping me sober for 30 days. And I did it, and I still do that today. Because what it did was, not knowing, it helped me to build a relationship with a God of my own understanding. Not yours, but mine's. It helped me to develop a relationship with me. It helped me to learn how to lift up my self-esteem. Just doing that 30-day ice cream cone. Not knowing the byproduct, because she didn't tell me the byproduct, what I was going to receive if I did those things. But she knew that I had to be doing it because of my action and my personality. I'm changing. And that was the biggest gift. It helped me to learn how to lift up my self-esteem. It helped me to learn how to lift up my self-worth about myself. And she would say, drop little nuggets. And she said, your family share your happiness. They don't make you happy. And she would say little nuggets like that from time to time. And I'm so grateful that she kept saying that, because I couldn't rely on my family to make me happy. And I'm so grateful for that. Because my family, my children, are responsible for their happiness. I can't make them happy. They have to do things to live up their self-esteem and their self-worth. You know, and that was the biggest gift about that. You know, coming in and doing what I needed to do. All I know is program. All I can share is my program. Like I said, I don't have one of these stories that I can talk for 30 minutes or 40 minutes about the disease of addiction. I don't have one of those type of stories. But I do have a story where I can talk for 30 minutes to 40 minutes or an hour about my recovery and what God has given me in this process and what he has restored me to. And I'm truly grateful for that. He helps me to see, I was at a meeting and I had 90 days. I had just celebrated 90 days. And they called on this lady to share. Let me back up a little bit. I told this guy that I had fear. And he said, I said, fear is stopping me from going forward. And he told me, he said, well, find a substitute word for fear. And I found insecurities. Because God created us all to have insecurities. All of us. Because if we didn't have insecurities, we wouldn't have no reason to call upon a power greater than ourselves to help us. So what I did with that insecurity, I changed insecurity into a challenge. Because now I'm working on my first year. So I'm learning how to stay sober. I'm learning how to walk and be sober. So I'm learning how to do that. So everything I was doing was a challenge. So everything, I changed challenge into willingness. Because I had to step out on willingness, not on faith, but willingness to put it into action. And that's what I did during my first few years. I changed fear into insecurities, insecurities into challenge, and challenge into willingness, and willingness into action. That was for me, to help me, to see my progress. But now I'm learning to listen to keywords when I go hear people, when I listen to that second tradition of loving God as he may express himself on group conscience. God had to help me to understand that needs to carry a whole lot of weight and depth when I walk into a room of AA. I don't know who God is going to use in this room to help me to get one more minute, but he's going to use someone. Now I need to take the cotton out of my ears and I need to listen up. I don't need to worry about the first part, the second part, but the second, that middle part, a loving God as he may express himself on group conscience. So this lady, I have 90 days. Now I'm carrying a pencil and a pen with me, a pencil and some paper in my purse, because these keywords are fleeting. If I don't write them down at that moment, I'm going to lose them. Because it's something that it touched me on the inside of my gut that God wants me to work on. He wants me to work on that keyword because he knows I need it. Because if I feel it on the inside of my gut, then I need to talk to my sponsor about that. So what happened was, this lady, I had 90 days. She said that they called on her to share. She said, I might not like everything I do. I might not like everything I say. But I am in love with myself. And the keyword was love. That's still true today. So I called my sponsor up, and I told my sponsor, I don't love me. She said, okay. She said, I want you to look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you love you. Oh, my mind told me, oh, I can do that. That's easy. So I went to the mirror to tell myself I love me, but what happened was I'm out the mirror before the word love come out. So I kept doing it until one day that I was able to stand there. But what happened was, you know how we embrace each other in the rooms and we hug each other and we tell each other that we love each other. I made a commitment to myself that before I hug another person in recovery and tell them that I love them, before I tell myself, I'm not going to do that no more. And I didn't. I just told them I care. Because I realized, how am I going to love you when I don't even love me? So I started doing that. But the biggest gift, now I'm working the steps, and I'm truly grateful for that, because then I realized the steps is helping me to forgive myself for all that damage that I did to myself when I was in the disease of addiction. And that I didn't have to carry that with me anymore. But it does have to carry some weight and some depth to remind me where I don't want to go back to. like the promise says, I won't regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I will comprehend the word peace and know serenity. When I heard that being read during my first year of sobriety, I said a little silent prayer and I asked God, I'd like to experience that one time. And this is my one time, experiencing the promises coming alive in my life. But guess what I had to do? I had to work for it. It didn't just come by me just coming to meetings and sitting. I had to put everything into action to get those promises to come alive. And I'm truly grateful to God that he's blessing me with that. And I used to ask him one day, I said, you know, not too long ago, probably about five or six years ago, I used to ask him, I said, God, do I really know how to handle situations that bow for me? You know? And he said, yeah, you go to a meeting. I said, okay, that's all I need to know. Because I didn't know. It's like, okay, am I in my head or what? You know, I want to make sure I'm not in my head, you know. And the biggest gift is that once that love peace started coming and everything, and once I felt that love on the inside of me, it took some time. But the biggest gift that I was able to do, once I was able to tell myself that I love myself by looking myself in the mirror, by that time, I was able to make an amends to Marshall by looking Marshall in the mirror in her eyes. Making amends to Marshall and asking her for forgiveness for all the damage that I did to her. All this uncomfortable situations that I put her in. All the things that, the shameful things that I did. And I told Marshall, by looking her in the eyes, today I'm going to learn how to become your best friend before another person tell me they my best friend. Let me show you by my actions that I'm your best friend. And I still do that today. I have to love Marshall more than you tell me you love me. Because Marshall is liable to do anything. And the biggest gift that I'm truly grateful for through this process is that, you know, I left my big book at home. And I hate that I did because I don't remember pages. You know, so my big book is marked up from cover to cover because I'm in a big book study. You know, I stay in a big book study. You know, I've been in the big book study from my first year of sobriety until now. And what I love about big book studies and 12 and 12 studies, it reminds me where I don't want to go back to. But also God continued to show me the areas that I still need to work on and that I haven't arrived anywhere. And I'm so grateful for that there. So my big book, I was sitting here and it was like, oh, wow, I left my big book at home. So I got my pages, you know, I start my favorite pages. I start writing them in the front of my book so I wouldn't forget them, you know, and everything like that. And so, you know, so I won't be able to go to any of them, but I got a couple pages that I am going to go to. You know, I don't know how long I have, you know, but the biggest gift that I'm truly grateful for is that, you know, I have my sponsor. I'm Jean Miller. You know, she was married to Bill Miller, one of the founders of the Southeast Alano Club. You know, that's my home group. But the biggest gift that I'm truly grateful for is that I have three sponsors, and my first two sponsors passed away. And I don't deviate too far from what they tell me. I don't deviate too far from my sponsors' suggestions. you know, because that's the only, I learned that if I didn't want a lot of voices in my head, I realized that one time and early on, I said, God, you know, I can go up to three different people and tell them what I'm going through, including my sponsor and two other people that I trust, and I can tell them all three the same thing what I'm going through. But now I have three suggestions, but they all different. So now I'm more confused about what I'm going through because now I don't know which suggestion that I should take. So what God had to teach me was keep it simple. Just talk to your sponsor. And whatever suggestion she gives you, utilize it. That way you don't have to worry about nothing else. You know, the other ones, you know, and I do. I keep it real simple in that area. You know, that's the purpose of me having a sponsor. You know, don't get me wrong. I have a support group, you know, and I do share with them. But it's not, I talk to them and everything like that. But I keep it real simple in that area. You know, I have to because my mind will complicate things a little bit more than I wanted to do. And I don't want to do that, you know. And I'm so grateful for that there, you know. And this is, they also taught me, you know, that I needed to know what type of alcoholic that I am. Either I'm a periodic alcoholic, the for real one, the weekend bender one, and the chronic one. And I'm a periodic alcoholic. And now I understand how I was able to put some days together, some weeks together, some months together, but then I always started back. And that needed to carry a whole lot of weight and depth for me. You know, and I'm truly grateful for that suggestion. You know, I also had to learn that what might work for you, for the person on the right of me, might not work for me. I had to learn that what worked for the person on the left of me might not work for me. But it doesn't mean the suggestion didn't work. What it meant was I just needed to tweak it for it to work for me. And I do that. You know, I just tweak things. You know, let's do something different here. Let's try to think of something else. And I'm so grateful for that there, you know, because it ended up being into a positive. You know, and now I used to get the phenomenon of craving, you know, the phenomenon of craving. What scares me about that is that once you put one in, you just don't know you overcoming the cravings, and that has to carry a whole lot of weight and depth. You know, also that's for me. You know, also on the 12 and 12 in the first step where it talks about the humiliation, you know, it also talks about who rather wants to admit complete defeat, practically no one. And God had to help me to see that I fell into that category. Also, when we talk about how it works, I had to see where I fell in there. Where it talks about the mentally and emotionally do recover if they have the capacity to be honest with you, with themselves. That had to carry some weight for me because I fell into that category. God had to help me to understand that I didn't have mental illness didn't mean that I had to take mental medication, but I still fell into that mental illness part that I couldn't differentiate the truth from the false. The positive from the negative. I couldn't do that. God also had to help me at the bottom of that page of step one where it talks about being precarious, you know, of real happiness. You wasn't going to find none. God had to help me to understand that if I doubted my new life, if any, and I had to look that word up, precarious, and it meant doubt. For me, if I doubted my new life, that I wasn't going to find any real happiness. That scared me. So I had to act as if that I was able to do this fellowship until I was able to believe in myself. And I'm so grateful for that. Then I understood that that part where it talks about, you know, when they talked about in the second step being restored to sanity. You know, first that once I admitted and accepted that I was powerless over my addiction of step one, then tradition one had to come alive. My personal recovery depends upon AA unity. That has to come alive. That has to carry a whole lot of weight and depth for me. That has to come alive. Once I understood that, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, then that second tradition had to come alive, a loving God as he may express himself from group conscious, because that's how my sanity is going to be restored. Not by my own action, by the actions of everybody in this room. And then I had to learn through the third step, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as we understood him. That baffled me a little bit because I had been doing my will for so long that I didn't know how I was going to be able to tell that I was doing God's will until I heard a speaker say that I do the third step. I call it the do's and the don't in my program. I had 90 days. He said, I call it the do's and the don'ts. He said, I'm going to do my will from time to time. He said, that's honesty. But long as I don't pick up a drug or a drink or any mind-altering chemicals, I'm not taking my life back from God. I said, I can do that. That's doable. I can do that. And that's what I do. What I do with the third tradition is that third tradition where it calls the only requirement for membership is a desire, I flip that now. I flip it to appreciation, gratitude, love, commitment, attraction, all positive keywords that I can feel on the inside of me. And that's what I do for myself. The fourth and the fifth step helped me to relieve me of my bondage of self, that I didn't have to be afraid of my disease of addiction coming back to me. Also in the sixth step, we're entirely ready to have God to remove all these defective characters. And also in the fifth tradition, what I like about that is that, you know, where it talks about, you know, the purpose is to stay sober and everything like that. What I had to understand with that was that it doesn't make a difference how much time you have in a program. We all still suffer. We all still have pain. But my primary purpose is not to pick up. And that's what God had to help me to understand. It doesn't make a difference how my feelings are. My primary purpose is not to pick up. And sometimes when I'm in pain, I say that. My primary purpose is not to pick up. The sixth tradition talks about being ready, tidily ready to have God to remove these defective characters. I had to learn that God had to help me to understand less a problem of less money, property, or prestige divert me from my primary purpose. What God had to help me to understand that I can flip that to any defective character that I'm having an issue with right now. And that's the anger piece. If I become angry, I can say that piece right there, because that's not going to be removed. The anger piece. Less promise of anger divert me from my primary purpose. My primary purpose is to stay sober. And I have to say that from time to time. Now, my responsibility is not to let that anger turn into a resentment. And that part right there is that you have to feed anger. You have to feed anger to turn into a resentment. You just don't go into a resentment. You have to feed it. You have to feed it, you know. And it's like, okay, so now I'm all the way down, you know, made a list. I made a list to myself. And now I do 10 and 11. You know, the 12 steps, and once you have the spiritual awakening of these steps and everything, that part right there, God already knows. I try not to get caught up on the sponsorship. And the reason why I don't want to get caught up on the sponsorship is a gift that God already knows that he's going to use all of us to sponsor someone to take them through the steps. He already knows that part right there. But in the beginning, I had to learn that once I walk through the door of AA, I'm walking in to the attraction. I'm already working with others, either directly or indirectly. I'm working with others. I want that to carry more weight and depth for me because it keeps me more grounded within myself, for me. You know, because it might come a day one day that God said, you know, you're not going to sponsor anybody no more. You know, so what am I going to do then? Get on the pity pot and ask God why I can't sponsor nobody no more? You know, so it's like, okay, let me circle back around. You know, in principles, that 12 step, principles of that 12 tradition, you know, when it talks about that spiritual information, principles before personalities. And that's where when I walk into a room of AA, is that's where I had to deflate my ego, my self-centeredness, and my false pride, and what I think I know about this fellowship. Because I still keep coming back to learn to enlarge my spiritual growth through that second tradition. Amen. By God's grace. You know, so I'm gonna say a couple more. These are the things that I did bring up. One thing that I like that I love this part right here, and this is a part that listening to the wind, and it's the last page. My life is filled with honesty today. Every action, word, prayer, and 12-step call is an investment in my spiritual freedom and fulfillment. I am in love and proud to be a Native American at an AA meeting on an Indian reservation. I heard the word sobriety is tradition. I stand at the top of the Circuit Mountain and I listen to the wind. And that wind is when you outside and you feel the wind and you look up and you see the trees, but you don't see no leaves blowing and they standing still. That's the wind I'm talking about. That's that peace wind that you feel from your head to your toes. And I sit in my backyard and I look up and no leaves are blowing on the tree. Or sometimes I be in front of a library and I look up and no leaves is blowing. I say, God, that's the peace I want. This is the peace she's talking about. I stand at the top of the Circuit Mountain and I listen to the wind. I have a conscious daily contact with my creator today, and he loves me. Everything is sacred as a result of the 12 steps and the love and recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. And by God's grace, that's what I have today. And I'm so grateful. This is the part right here. Now, this is we live only to drink. If you have, and if you're a newcomer and you haven't read that story yet, it's a very powerful story. It's a very powerful story. It says, I'm going to just read the last paragraph. The rewards of sobriety are bountiful, as a progressive as a disease as they counteract. Certainly among these rewards for me are release from the prison of uniqueness and the realization and the participation in AA way of life is a blessing and a privilege beyond estimate. A blessing to live life free from the pain and degradation of drinking and filled with the joy of useful, sober living and a privilege to grow in sobriety one day at a time and bring the message of hope as it was brought to me. And that's the reason why I'm still standing here today, because the message was brought to me that I can believe that I can have what everybody in this room was having, and that was freedom from bondage of self. I just needed to type into that resource, which was God, and asked him to help me to find what was going to work for me and help me to learn how to appreciate and help me to appreciate my life. and help me to continue to let it grow and blossom. And guess what? That's what the promise has told me. The promise has told me. And I'm so grateful for the promises. But one thing that I can't remember the page in the big book, but the big book talks about two things. One thing is the disease. They used to tell us, don't rest on your laurels. But you know what? The most important, powerful sentence comes after that. The disease is subtle. It has different faces. It uses different things. It has different triggers. Triggers that you think you have worked on and you know you have worked on them, they come back up in a different face. That's when I had to recognize those and say, you know what, God, thank you for reminding me who I am and what I am. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for reminding me that I worked on that. The disease is subtle, and it's cunning, baffling, and it's powerful, and it uses people, places, and things and situation. So when you read that part, rest on your laurels, and you stop there, read the next sentence behind it, because that's the one that has to carry a whole lot of weight and depth on the inside. So when those triggers start showing up, you can recognize them. And then that part where it talks about meeting life on life's terms, still having an alcoholic mind. I have a question. It was my question was, okay, God, if I cannot meet life on life's terms, that means I still have an alcoholic mind. I have to ask myself, what do I want? I don't want an alcoholic mind. And I'm so grateful to God that he's helping me to see that I don't want an alcoholic mind. And I'm so grateful for that there. So, you know, the promises, you know, I love the promises. It gives me a lot of hope. It helps me to find and believe in myself. It helps me to say, this is what I want for myself. You know, I want to know how to live life on life's terms without the use of drinking and the other substance. You know, and I'm truly grateful for that. God has really shown up in my life. You know, he shows up through you guys one day at a time, one minute at a time, one second at a time, to believe in myself that I'm worthy. You know, I do other things. I do things to enlarge my spiritual growth. And what I do to enlarge my spiritual growth, I go to different meetings. I go to different meetings. I don't deviate from my home group because my home group knows me. When I go to other meetings, I'm there for a purpose, to enlarge my spiritual growth. And that's the reason why I'm there. Because they don't know me like my whole group know me. I can go to another meeting and I can hide in that meeting and nobody would know me on a personal level. But guess what I'm doing? I'm sabotaging myself. I have to be aware of that. Because I don't want to do that. So I don't want to be running from meeting to meeting. When I go and do different things, I'm doing it because I'm enlarging my spiritual growth to help me to continue to stay here in these rooms. And I'm truly grateful for, thank you for listening to me and welcoming me.
Well, I would like to thank you, Michelle. Thank you very much. And when you come back and visit us, hope to see you soon and you'll share again. Okay. Got to thank the residents of the house, the women's auxiliary. I wasn't here for dinner, but thank you for the dinner tonight, whatever it was. I don't know too sure. I don't think there was very many people here, so we could use your support, always, okay? Well, Michelle, would you like to close us out of the meeting with the prayer of your choice?